Last week, we heard the story of John the Baptist recognizing the Spirit of God descending on Jesus. John had been baptized and been along with other people. And after the baptism, John saw the Spirit descend on Jesus and stay there. It was not a momentary thing. It was a permanent anointing of the Spirit. It was as if this was the defining moment when Jesus was to begin his ministry. His boyhood and early manhood has prepared him for his special role in the world. At this moment, the Spirit came down and he was designated to become the presence of God on earth, the Incarnation. We can assume a loving childhood and brilliant dialogue with rabbis and scholars. All of this was preparation for his special ministry at the age of 30. Today's gospel opens with the fact that John the Baptist is now in prison, probably for his radical teaching and challenges to authority. So Jesus leaves and goes into the countryside. Here I am indebted to Richard Rose, who's in Florida, at his wife's son's wedding. He introduced me to Jay Parini, author of the book Jesus, the Human Face of God. In it, Parini points out very clearly that Jesus' ministry is in small towns, villages, and out in the country, and all his ministry is with individuals. He heals a person, he lays hands on a person, he teaches in response to a personal question. Virtually all his ministry is one-on-one with the rejects in our society. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the little man in the tree, the handicapped, the diseased, the sick one. His compassion knew no bounds. After the failure of trying to teach in his hometown, he moved on to small villages in the countryside. He never did preach or teach in a city. His ministry in the rural realm and among human rejects winds up being the universal faith that culminates in all religions around the world. So for the simple, elemental contacts with other humans comes the divine response of God in the flesh on earth to lead the way to life everlasting. A good example of this comes from Parini's book, a retelling of Jesus and the Samaritan woman from the Gospel of John. In John's Gospel, he traveled widely on foot from Judea through Samaria, heading back to his base in Galilee, and then heading out again. He and his disciples baptized people wherever they went, often going off in pairs to do this work at the behest of Jesus. In Samaria, in a town called Sychar, where Jacob had a well in ancient times, Jesus is seen by himself. Exhausted, he sat by this particular well. It was noon when a Samaritan woman stopped to draw water. "Will you give me a drink?" Jesus asked. It shocked her that he spoke to her at all, let alone with a request like this one. "You're a Jew," she said. "I'm a Samaritan woman, and you ask me for a drink?" Jews and Samaritans did not associate in those times, and probably more to the point, a self-respecting Jewish man did not speak to a strange woman at a public place like a well. But Jesus would speak to anyone, whenever and wherever he chose. The conversation turned progressively more complex, testier, with the stakes increasing as they spoke. He said to her, "If you had any idea who asked you for a drink and what God can do actually for you, you would have asked if this man could give you some living water." She replied, "Sir, you have nothing to use to draw water, no bucket. And where can one get this living water you talk about? Don't tell me you're more important than Jacob, our father, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as have his sons and their animals for generations." Jesus said, "Those who drink this water will grow thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I offer won't thirst again. I provide the waters of eternal life." She smiled, wisecracking. "Please give me this amazing water so I won't get thirsty again and I won't have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus had her number, however. "Go get your husband. Tell him to come here." "I have no husband," she replied coolly. "That's true," said Jesus. "In fact, you've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with at the moment isn't even your husband." Now she was flummoxed, even frightened. "How did he know all of this?" "Sir, you're a prophet. I see that now." They talked more, and the wheels in her head began to spin. She said, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." He responded, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." Shocked by this statement and convinced of its truth, she rushed to tell people in the village about the compelling, if rather testy, man she had just met at Jacob's well. End of quote. As usual, Jesus is enigmatic, mysterious, prophetic, and messianic, all at the same time. We are left in awe and admiration of who this man is. Truly, he is the real thing. He is the Son of God. Let's return to our gospel for today. After a short reference to Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus starts collecting his disciples. All 4 of them are fishermen: Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. A very healthy start. Why fishermen? An honorable profession, but also one where there can be infinite patience. A fisherman always waits upon the fish to seek the bait or to land in the net. But possibly more important, a fisherman works on top of the deep water, the unknown. By profession, the catch comes to him. In working with people, He lets them come to him with whatever problems they might have. The unknown beneath the surface becomes the agenda a disciple honors as he listens to the tragedies and triumphs of the soul with whom he is present. Jesus gathers his disciples. This little band went about Galilee, teaching and healing and proclaiming the kingdom of God. The next few verses after the end of the gospel tell the rest of the story. From the scholar's translation, they brought him everyone who was ill, who suffered from any kind of disease, or was in intense pain, who was possessed, who was epileptic, or paralytic, and he cured them. Jesus' ministry was one of compassion. He felt deeply for the wounded, those in pain, those who suffer physically or emotionally, those who are lost, and those who are lonely. He wasn't all sweetness and light. That's another sermon on another day. St. Athanasius summed it up best when he said, "God became like us that we might become like God." The incarnate Son, Jesus, took on human flesh, and we in turn take on and live out the fullness of God. Let us pray. Lord of life and joy, fill us with the qualities manifested by Jesus in his life on earth. As his ministry began, so may our ministry find new paths and new outlets for your Spirit in this troubled world. Take our humble offerings and increase their healing gifts for the peace and comfort they may bring to those in need. May we walk with the weary. May we console the grieving. May we bless the disenfranchised. May we in all ways be your hands and feet, your heart and mind, your consolation, your flesh on earth. Amen.